Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless
you. We're going to continue in our series on going through 1 Peter, and we've gone through several things, and the truth is we're focusing on the fact that we can grow through times of suffering. And suffering is not easy, and suffering is not fun. But the book of 1 Peter, a big portion of it is addressed to Christians who are living in an ever-increasingly hostile culture. And so there's some wonderful advice, some practical advice that we, in fact, can embrace in our lives today. So I got a couple of comments on that. But first of all, I got a picture here I want to show you. This is a former teacher, a professor. His name is Dr. Anajuwe Swami. And if you look at that, go ahead and click to the next one there, guys. Go ahead. This is now slide one. There you go. If you see this gentleman right here, he retired from teaching. Dr. Swami did in India, and he decided that he was going to spend his time, and he made a goal to pass out 50 New Testaments a day. He was going to find 50 people, share Christ, and give them a New Testament. And he did this every day, 50 people. That's some serious dedication, isn't it? And unfortunately, a few years ago, he was passing out New Testaments, and he was near a Hindu temple, and some Hindu nationalists attacked him and accused him of trying to convert people to Christianity, which of course he was. He was arrested, and the beating continued through his interrogation. He had severe brain hemorrhaging, and he was in the hospital for nearly a year, and he's working on his recovery. This is actually found on the Voice of the Martyrs. I know that it doesn't make our news, but the fact of the matter is there are Christians being persecuted all over the globe. If you'd like to kind of keep up with it, one resource that I would share with you is an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And you can go on their website, and they keep you with news updates and prayer requests. And the second picture here, while we were celebrating the 4th of July just a few weeks ago, it was reported that there were two churches that were burned in Niger's third largest city. This was due to a recent political change. They adopted some religious freedom legislation, and a radical Islamic imam was very angry about this and preached a message, and resulting in that message, 178 people attacked these churches and burnt them to the ground. This was an Assemblies of God church, and there was another evangelical church, as well as the pastor of the Assemblies of God church's car. This is a pretty rough thing. Now, here in the United States, we don't see as much of this, but the truth is that Newsweek reported in 2018 that the persecution and genocide, I said genocide, of Christians across the world is today greater than any time in history. An estimated 215 million Christians worldwide experience very high to extreme persecution for their faith. Now, again, here we see the beginnings of things here in the United States. University Christian Fellowship was recently kicked off public campuses and public schools. Just last year, a teacher in New Jersey was suspended for simply giving a student a Bible who asked him. A football coach in Washington was placed on leave simply for saying a prayer at the end of a game. And outspoken Christians on college campuses, again, outspoken Christians on campuses are often demeaned and ridiculed for their beliefs despite other ideologies being tolerated and even encouraged and celebrated. Christians are now in our media often labeled as hateful, bigoted, homophobic, and privileged amongst other labels. Despite the fact that Christians, historically, have been among the most persecuted religious groups in the world and are still persecuted at ever-increasing levels throughout countries in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. So I know it's, you know, we don't have that here in Pike Tucky. You know, we don't experience it to a whole big degree. But we need to be prepared, because the truth of the matter is, if you have a biblical worldview, you are going to begin to experience, and you have experienced a big separation in our culture. Okay? So 1 Peter is a wonderful tool for us to be prepared, to examine what comes down, because no matter which theory of end times that you subscribe to, the church will be persecuted. And even as persecuted, you know, we see a lot of Christian persecution in Europe now, which we never saw before, and it's starting to be in coastal areas, and it makes its way across the United States. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, let's all read this together, because it's good for us as a church family to read God's Word. Would you join me? We're going to do verses 13 through 19. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. It's an important thing, and you've heard me say this before, and I've picked it up certainly from other Bible teachers, but it begins with a word. The first word there we read is therefore. And so the rule in Scripture, whenever you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for. All right. So the therefore is relating it to something that we that was earlier presented. And here in chapter 1, as we discussed last week, God has foreknowledge. In other words, God knows that you're going to go through some hard times. And any person who tries to evangelize you, tries to share Christ with you and say, oh, I offer Jesus into your life and you'll never have any troubles ever again. That's just not accurate. In fact, it's very incorrect and it's very damaging. I was guilty of receiving that. And then when I went through persecution, when I went through hard times in my life, I thought, well, either A, God is mad at me, or B, you know, I'm doing something horribly, horribly wrong. Things like, you know, losing friendships because of my faith. Things like losing relationships. Things like, you know, feeling, you know, kind of like an outcast as life began. Those things happen when we embrace Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here today. I want you to know, though, that God foreknew everything you're going to go through. And He has provided all that you need. But you have some things that you need to be doing with your faith. Jesus died for you, and there's a reason. He did not die for you so that you can stay the exact same way that you are. You see, the trouble is, a lot of folks they are guilty of a really bad theology that says, I'm going to add a religious practice to my life, and then I can keep my life just as it is, but because I add a religious practice, somehow that balances everything out. The people who say this, well, I've had a pretty rough week. I better go to church this week. Do we have our frequent flyer cards here? Do we stomp them? We click them? If you come every Sunday for 3 weeks, you get the front row. Obviously, no one's there. Okay, we got a few people here. So, why is it the back row always fills up fast? Because I spit when I talk. That's why. Okay, there we go. No, gang, the truth is that if we look at the Gospel of John chapter 3, Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus quietly at night and he asked him, what do I have to do that I can have eternal life? And Jesus' answer just about confounds him. He says, look, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. In other words, you can't just add some religious rules and religious practices. Jesus came not that you can continue having your life, but that you can have a new life in Him. And we need to understand that, gang. We really do. Because a failure to understand that has made the church ineffective. has made the church. We're just a bunch of whiny weenies. We just sit around, we just whine at everything. We got no grit. We got no ability to sustain in persecution. I'm concerned. I really am. You know, as I told First Service, as I looked back over the teaching, the series that we've done in 2019, and tried to say, what is the one thing, God, that you've been saying to First Christian Church in Pittsfield, to our church family? What is the repeated message that you have been sharing to us? Because I don't want to get to the end of the year and look back and say, I've missed it. And I've come up with one message that we've seen throughout everything that the Holy Spirit has been trying to reveal to us. And that is this. You are not supposed to stay the same. You are not supposed to stay the same. You are supposed to become more Christ-like. You are supposed to embrace change and difference. And so, how can we do this? Well, our scripture text today begins with, therefore, preparing your minds for action. So my first of 3 points today is this. The first point is, be ready. As the apostle, as Simon Peter says, prepare your mind for actions. You have to get your mind ready to be moving. After VBS and after the big water slide, I got home and I sat in my chair and I sat a little bit too long. After I'm not as young as I used to be. And I was going to sit up and I had to take a minute and get my mind ready for action. I had to get my rocking momentum and just get right up there. You know, and as I looked at our volunteers who did an awesome job. You know, they didn't just walk in there. They were meeting and meetings. They've been meeting for months. Meetings going all the way back nearly a year ago. In fact, we're going to start planning for next year's in just a few weeks. We've already started sitting. Because why? We have to prepare our minds for actions. And you guys, all of us, as followers of Christ. By the way, how many of you would call yourselves Christians here today? If you're a Christian, stand up and raise, because you should be proud of that. If you're a Christian, kind of wave your hand so we kind of see if there's some Christians. Okay, great. We got some Christians in the room here. Do you know what the word Christian really means? It's a Christ follower. Or even, you know, a slave of Christ, but I know that's really difficult language for us right now, and I respect that. But the fact is, we are so dedicated, we are tied into Christ. We follow Christ, where Christ leads us. And so if we are Christ followers, we need to prepare our mind to follow Him. Recently, we had a vacation, and I was doing some driving. And we were trying to go to this one place. And as we were following, this is in San Diego, as we were trying to get to this one room, I was driving and I realized that I had to really get my mind set on the car in front of me, because driving in San Diego ain't like driving here. I mean, here we may have a Amish wagon or a tractor that we have to get around. But then you got, you know, eight lanes of traffic, and there's chaos, and there's this and there's that. And I had to focus on the car ahead of me and prepare to say, I'm going to keep on their tail, and they might have to go around. I'm going to get around. There's some traffic they avoid. I have to go and I have to follow them. And we, in following Christ, have to have our minds prepared to act. And that's in the micro and in the macro. So the macro. You need to be in Scripture. You need to be reading the Bible. You need to be embracing a lifestyle of holiness so you're ready to move. Have you led somebody to Christ? We asked last week. A lot of us, well, I don't know how I would. Well, then we need to be prepared to do that, right? I need to be prepared to stand in temptation. Well, then get into the Word and understand that. And in the micro, probably the best analogy I can use, I was hearing a pastor at a pastor's conference preach, and they said, you know, what changed my life and my walk with Christ was, before my feet hit the floor, my knees hit the floor. So in the morning, before he says, I literally had to do this. When I get out of bed, before my feet hit the floor, my knees hit the floor. He said, I roll out of bed and I go straight to my knees and I just prepare my mind for action. And far too many of us, we go out to the day totally unprepared. It was about 5:45. VBS kicks off at 6. And I looked into the faces of our volunteers, and they were preparing their minds for action. They were ready to experience a gazillion kiddos who were going to come in. So we have to do this. We have to understand that there is some preparation and we have some responsibility there because we're Christ followers. Verse 14 and 15, we need to follow Christ towards certain things, such as it says, he who called you is holy. And so we should be holy in all of our conduct. Notice it said all of our conduct. Okay? Since it is written, you should be holy for I am holy. So that's one thing. We need to follow Christ towards holiness, towards soberness. So if Christ is leading, we need to follow. But also, we need to be following Christ. In verse 17, it says, and if you call on him as a father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. In other words, we are living as aliens and strangers here in this world. This is not your final home. This is not. And so, follow Christ away from certain things. And the truth is, how many of you would be honest with me and say that there are some things that Christ is trying to lead you away from? Anybody? It could be as little as a dessert table. It could be as big as a gossip table. And it could be anywhere in between. Places of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, jealousy. We've got a whole list of them, of works of the flesh, of carnal fruits. And yet, then we have the fruits of the Spirit. And so, God wants to lead us towards the fruits of the Spirit and lead us away from carnal works, worldliness, carnality, and sin. So, if we are citizens here, we are aliens. We're not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are temporarily living here. So, hold on to our values. How can we do that? 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 lets us know that we should be in the Word. Let's all read verses 1 through 3 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Pause right there. I like how it said all malice. You know what malice is? Malice is the tendency to want to do evil. When you're acting with malice, you're trying to do evil. So we should have an absence of malice. Ha ha ha. Anyway, so we should, it's a little literary joke there. Okay. We should put away all malice and then put away all deceit. That's deceptiveness. Well, I'm not deceptive. Do you lie? Well, yeah, but that's not deceptive. You're being deceptive right now. All deceptiveness and hypocrisy and envy. And then I like the last one there. And all slander. Well, they deserve it. No, put it away. And how do we do that? I love verse 2 is joined to verse 1. It lets us know how to do it. Like a newborn infant, we should long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. What is the spiritual milk? It is the Word of God. You know, and it's critical for us to understand that. I talk with people all the time. They'll come in and they're like, you know, Pastor, I'm at this place in my life. I want to get closer to God. What's the first step that I can do? And it's a no-brainer. Get into the Word. No, you don't understand. I want to feel God's presence. Get into the Word. No. I want to hear God talk to me. Get into the Word. Well, how is that going to help me know He's taught? He has written you 66 books. He's written you 66 books. He's not silent. Well, no. I want something personal. It's living. It's active. You can't get much more personal than that. So if you move towards the Word, you are moving towards Christ. I just don't see that, Pastor. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A little bit later, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to get close, the first place you start is the Word. Well, that just seems too simple. Duh! and that brings us, you know, in terms of our suffering, when we move towards the Word, then we realize this, that embracing the Word gives us our moral compass. That's hard. And here's where we as a society are on kind of the teeter blocks here. We're at that precipice of stepping off. Because for the first time in many generations, you know, we're really kind of hell-bent as a society here in the United States to strip ourselves from any form of a Judeo-Christian footprint upon our society, even though, as I preached in on July 4th, God's footprint and the Judeo-Christian footprint is all over our society. The uniqueness of our nation as the United States of America was founded in a Judeo-Christian values, a morality. And so the Word of God gives us our moral compass. How do you think it's okay to murder? I hope none of us. If somebody raise their hand, please tell me after service. It's not okay to murder. Where do we get that? Because there are other ideologies that say it is okay to murder. What makes us unique is that we believe that God lets us, God has expressed that to us. Embracing God's word, it gives us a moral compass. And when we follow that moral compass, we are getting to the day and age, and it has been foretold in Scripture that embracing the word will lead to conflict with the world. As I gave you examples at the very beginning of our sermon. Again, it's starting in places right now. It's starting in places of education and politics, and yet it doesn't take long for that to bleed over. So you say, look, Pastor Mike spoke to us today on July 21st and told us it's coming. And it is. Pray. So we need to be in the Word so that we can be prepared, so that we can be ready. And that's why God has given us His Word, because He knows, everybody say, God knows that you're going to get tested. God knows that you're going to come in times of trial, and He has given us His Word to prepare us. It's our job to walk with Him and to read the Word and to be in the Word. But don't just stop there. My third and final point, somebody say, amen. Thank you for not. Go beyond reading the Word to living the Word. So let's look at James chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. Let's all read this again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. But be doers of the word, and not only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, but perseveres, not being no hearer, who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So we're supposed to go beyond simply reading God's Word to emulating God's Word. Now, if you're like me, every year that goes by, I go and I look in the mirror and I wish I could forget what I saw. Right? The truth is, no, God's Word, it in fact, is a mirror. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you look and you're like, where did I get this big pillow crease all the way across my face? And you try to deal with it, right? You know, heaven forbid, you know, you brush your teeth and you got a big old thing of toothpaste on the side of your face. Do you think you'd wash it and kind of deal with that, right? When we look into God's Word, it shows us those places where maybe we are in error, those places where maybe we have some things that need adjusted, some areas in our life that we're not being a Christ follower. And so we don't just read it and say, yeah, no one can live up to that. Well, Jesus did. Jesus did. And so, my brothers and sisters, we go beyond just reading God's Word to allowing it to become part of our lives, and that we adopt the principles of Christ in our lives as we venture to allow His Spirit to continue to grow and have more areas. Notice I said to grow and to have more areas. Because I have no doubt that when I started walking with Christ, I said, I give you everything. But the truth is, if I was writing a hymn as to how I lived my life, it would sound more like this. I surrender a little. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? No, Pastor, we've always been consecrated to the absolute utmost. Okay. Yeah, you know. And as we grow, we go on, we grow. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 lets us know probably the most important thing that we can grasp for this is who we really are. When you get into the Word of God, it lets you know who you are. As I speak with Christian counselors, and we've got some relationships with some really good Christian counselors, and we try to encourage people who need some help, but they all say the same thing. We in our society, especially with young people here today, they're having an identity crisis. They just don't know who they are, and they're looking so much to know why are they here. And they're angry that they feel like they have no purpose or they've been lied to by society. And yet the church has the answer. God's Word has the answer. So let's look at this. And with that in mind, could you read this, verse 10 together, right? 9 and 10. Ready? 1, 2, 3. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Pause right there. At the risk of falling asleep, I'd like everybody just close their eyes for a second. And let me read that to you. And I want you to hear this in this frame. Frame it like this. This is God's message to you. You are a chosen people. A chosen race. You are chosen. In fact, you're chosen to be a royal priesthood. And by faith, that means you're literally tied into the lineage of King David for this reason, that you can be a holy nation. You are a people that are God's own. And God's voice to you is saying, you are mine for this reason, that your life will show forth the excellent love of God. And as God has called you out of darkness, that's going to be a testimony to those around you. You may have had no identity in your life, but now you have it. You may have never received mercy and thought that God didn't love you, but in fact, you have received mercy and He loves you. Now open up your eyes, church. And because of this truth, this is where we conclude today. Peter gives us this advice. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. And they do. Those passions war against us, don't they, gang? They literally do. And he goes on and says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles. Okay, let's just replace the word here. Keep your conduct amongst non-believers, against people who don't understand, honorable, so that when or if they speak against you as evildoers, which they do, and they will, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of His visitation. In other words, God's going to show up one day, and you're going to stand before Him. And if you would embrace the Word and allow the Word to transform your life, you're going to be able to stand before Him, and He is going to see and reward you for your faith. That's good news, isn't it? That is good news. So, we are a royal priesthood. That means we have rights, we have responsibilities, and we also have an inheritance. So, with that in mind, brothers and sisters, I bless you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus that you would really know that you are a royal priesthood. You see, my whole life, if I had to have a life verse, this is the verse that transformed my life. Because I had plenty of voices telling me that I was a mess up. I had voices inside my head saying, you did something wrong, that's why this happened to you. That's why you've been betrayed. That's why you lost your parents. That's why, you know, you had this happen. That's why you had that happen. I've had voices in my life that tried to say, you will never amount to anything. You've heard, oh, no, you're a son of the drunk and you're always going to be blah, 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 blah. I've had plenty of voices condemn, and you probably have too. But the voice of God says this, you're a royal priesthood. And I will never forget the day that that verse became life to me. And I recognize that God could use a messed up, very angry, depressed person and turn His life into something different. Not perfect, but usable in His hands. And He wants to do the very same for you. You're not just church members. You're not just people visiting. You're not whatever you think you are. You're not just that. You are a royal priesthood. And God wants to use you. His perfect and good will.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.